first, could you tell us a little bit about Frederica Martin?
I guess you'd have to say she was sort of a political activist. Before she went to the Pribilofs, she spent a year in Spain during the Spanish Civil War and fighting against fascism. And then she came to the United States and she married Dr. Samuel Barenberg, and he was hired as a physician for the Pribilofs, and they went up. And she discovered a community that was heavily controlled by the government, really enslaved.
And how did she feel about the situation?
Her sympathies were entirely with Aleut families and not with the government. And she tried to find out how these conditions had come about and what it meant to people. And then after she left, after the war, after people returned, she remained in contact with the Pribilof people and gave whatever assistance she could by contacting people in the government or by writing articles, pointing out the terrible conditions that the Pribilof folks lived under.
So what were the conditions like then?
There was, for example, a required inspection of Aleut homes by the government people in charge. They would march into Aleut homes and inspect them. And she didn't really object to this. She thought of ways that it could be made better. But at the same time, then when the first time she accompanied her husband on one of these inspections, she was amazed at the well-organized homes that she found. They were much cleaner than those of the white people who were in charge of the island. They were just picture perfect homes with certain differences. The white people had running water; the native people did not. In the movie theater, the white people had comfortable chairs in the back where they could lean back and watch the movies. The native people sat on backless benches in the front of the theater.
So what were some of the things that the Aleuts and the Pribilofs were hoping to change?
They were trying to get the right to, in a sense, to own property, the right to be paid for, the work they were doing. The Pribilofs, there was this phrase called a ward of the government, which in a sense meant that you were not supporting yourself or your families, but you were being taken care of by the government. And it was a false label. And it's one that really was reflected more a condition of servitude. So these people were doing what they could. The problem was, if they voiced any objection to government procedures, they could be sent away from the island and not allowed to return. So a lot of this had to be done, in a sense, covertly.
So how did Martin describe the evacuation?
The evacuation is just mentioned very briefly at the end by Frederica Martin. She was out hiking and saw this shadowy figure coming towards her. There had been planes flying overhead, and of course they had heard about the attack on Dutch Harbor. They had heard about the capture of Attu, and by listening to radio. And so she was out walking around, and the shadowy person came towards her. She was a bit frightened. It turned out to be her husband, telling her that they had to evacuate quickly. And that's pretty much where the book ends.
And what became of the Pribilofs Aleut families?
The people in the Pribilofs were, of course, taken down to southeastern Alaska. And while there, the Fish and Wildlife Service, so they were the ones in charge of the island, attempted to control them the way they had in the Pribilofs. They said, in fact, that the Pribilof men could not become members of the armed forces. They could not be drafted. Of course, that was a fight they lost because Pribilof men were drafted. Pribilof men volunteered. I have an appendix that lists some of the men from the Pribilofs who served during World War II. And so there was definite contact with the outside. A number of people from the Pribilofs were able to leave the evacuation camp and find jobs in other localities. They began to see how other people lived, the freedoms that people had. And so when they came back to the islands, there was a major shift in the way people saw things. It still took decades before they were fully granted, ownership of their homes and ownership of their islands and the rights of ordinary Americans.
So how did Martin feel about the island itself?
She found the island very beautiful, And she loved to go hiking. She loved to go beachcombing. She wasn't quite so enthusiastic about the seal killing and the harvesting of the seals, but she gave a very fine description of the whole process of the seal industry. But her descriptions of the island can be very charming, very lovely.
And how did she feel about the move before arriving in the Pribilofs? Was there any resistance to her husband for making this drastic change?
She said that she was sitting in the backyard of their home in Washington or in that area, and it was stifling hot. And he got a call inviting him to go to the Pribilof Islands, and he asked her out the window if she would like to go to the Bering Sea, and she immediately said she would love it. And she had pictures of icebergs and polar bears. And so off they went. And they really didn't know where they were going. They couldn't find much information about the islands, and they stopped in Ketchikan, and she was able to buy a few things. But they pretty much arrived not knowing where they were going.
And could you describe the effort it took to publish this manuscript?
Well, it was a long process. It's probably been 10 or 15 years. And David Hale, who was the director of the library up in Fairbanks at the university, first approached me about the manuscript, and then he got permission from Toby Ann, her daughter, for me to read it. And then I did some editing, one attempt, and it didn't work for various reasons. And then so I set it aside, but then I took it up again, and with Toby Ann's permission to do whatever I wanted to with the manuscript, I proceeded. I cut out large sections, and I also inserted sections from Frederica Martin's typed diary, which are a little bit more personal than the book that she wrote. So in some instances, you'll find the same event mentioned in the diary and then in the text.
And so what ended up getting cut out?
Oh, she... She quoted huge passages from early fur seal reports, and they were just long, long government document kinds of things. And, you know, they would put anybody to sleep almost immediately. So I cut out a lot of those.
Again, that was Ray Hudson, who has just worked to release Frederica Martin's 1946 manuscript, Before the Storm. Thanks a lot, Ray.